ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We'll chant verses 25 to 39, chapter 2, page number 93.
నానుశోచితుమర్హసి అవ్యక్తోయమచింత్యోయం అధికార్యోయముచ్యతే తస్మాదేవం విదిత్వైనం నానుశోచితుమర్హసి. అత చైనం నిత్యజాతం నిత్యం వా మన్యసే మృతం తదాపి త్వం మహాబాహో నైనం శోచితుమర్హసి. అత చైనం నిత్యజాతం నిత్యం వా మన్యసే మృతం తదాపి త్వం మహాబాహో నైనం శోచితుమర్హసి. జాతస్య హి ధ్రువో మృత్యుః ధ్రువం జన్మ మృతస్య చ తస్మాదపరిహార్యేతే నత్వం శోచితుమర్హసి. జాతస్య హి ధ్రువో మృత్యుః ధ్రువం జన్మ మృతస్య చ తస్మాదపరిహార్యేతే నత్వం శోచితుమర్హసి. అవ్యక్తాదీని భూతాని వ్యక్తమధ్యాని భారత అవ్యక్తనిదనాన్యేవ తత్రకాపరిదేవనా. అవ్యక్తాదీని భూతాని వ్యక్తమధ్యాని భారత అవ్యక్తనిదనాన్యేవ తత్రకాపరిదేవనా. ఆశ్చర్యవత్పశ్యతి కశ్చిదేనం ఆశ్చర్యవద్వదతి తతైవ చాన్యః ఆశ్చర్యవచ్చైనమన్యశృణోతి శ్రుత్వాప్యేనం వేదన చైవ కశ్చిత్. ఆశ్చర్యవద్వదతి తతైవ చాన్యః ఆశ్చర్యవశ్చైనమన్యశృణోతి శ్రుత్వాప్యేనం వేదన చైవ కశ్చిత్.
The most important quality to learn in any field is to become aware of one's own ignorance in that field. The awareness of our ignorance is a qualification to ask to learn. If I think I know, I'm not going to learn. So Arjuna understood his state of helplessness, is caught in ignorance, and he surrenders to the Lord in verse number 7 of chapter 2. When he became a Shishya, only then Lord Krishna could give the knowledge. Till then, even though he was full of knowledge, it will not be received. Where is the receiver? So Arjuna became the receiver in verse number 7, chapter 2. Then the Lord starts giving the Gita from verse number 11 of chapter 2. So he says, you seem to be speaking like a wise person. Wise person lives the knowledge. I can't see the action of yours as something that a wise person would do. Wise person will not grieve. You are grieving. You are speaking wonderfully the whole of first chapter, but in action you are grieving. That is not what a wise person do. A wise person do not grieve for those whose breath is gone, for those whose breath has come. Means somebody who is dead and gone, somebody who is just born. He doesn't grieve for anybody. Why he doesn't grieve? Because he's got the knowledge of who anybody essentially is. What is Atma? The self. What is the real self vis-a-vis the non-self? Atma, Anatma, Viveka, he has. He knows what is the essential nature of every being. Essential nature of every being is Nityam, eternal. Something which is not born, something which does not die, which is ever existent, never non-existent.
What is the Sanskrit word? Is it
Nityam? Nityam, eternal.
Nityam.
Yeah, yeah. And then Atma is all-pervading. It is everywhere. It is present everywhere in unmanifest form. It is inconceivable. It is something beyond the body, beyond the mind, beyond the intellect. Do not try to catch the Atma with your perceptions, nor with your feelings, nor with your thoughts. It is the very basis that allows you, enlivens you to perceive, feel and think. So you cannot catch Atma through your perceptions, feelings and thoughts. Atma is inconceivable. Atma is unmanifest. Atma is indestructible. It is changeless. Everything that changes happens with the support of the changeless Atma. Atma remains changeless. It is available in all these changes as unmanifest. You don't see it. Yet without Atma, nothing happens. Atma is neither a doer nor an enjoyer. Atma doesn't do anything and doesn't reap the results of any action. In the presence of Atma, everything happens. For example, sunrise. The mere sunrise makes the flower bloom. If we are even borrowing words when we say makes the flower bloom. Flower just blooms in the presence of the sunlight. Sunlight has not directly caused it to bloom or not to bloom. So in the mere presence of Atma, all activities happen. Atma is neither karta or bhokta. It is akarta abhokta. All that he spoke, he said it is indestructible and all that. And then now he says, the gross weapons, earth, made of earth, are fire, water, air. None of them can cause any damage to Atma. Atma cannot be cut. Atma cannot be wetted. Atma cannot be blown by wind. Atma cannot be heated by fire. Atma is subtle. These are gross. Gross cannot affect the subtle. Gross can only affect the gross. So if you identify with Atma, then there will be no affectation in life. If you are identified with the gross things in life, to that extent there will be affectation. You are speaking words of wisdom, but your identification seems to be continuing with the gross things. See, when can anybody categorize you as somebody who knows? When you stand in the position of your knowledge. A one hand you are talking about Atma, but on the other hand you are identifying with your body and mind. So you don't know, you have heard about Atma. Hearing about Atma is different from knowing Atma. That is the subtle point that we need to understand. If I have heard about the fact that fire burns, there is curiosity in me to put my finger into fire. If I know that fire burns, then I am not going to put my finger into fire. So a lot of us have heard about Atma. We do not know about Atma. So he says, Arjuna, your words and action don't go together. We have done up to 24, isn't it? So I told you to remember, to understand these concepts, I gave you 3 C's. What are the 3 C's I gave you? The physical body could be called as a container, the first C. The mind, the subtle body, could be called as the content. The consciousness, pure consciousness, the real self, is the third C. So first C is container, second C is content, third C is consciousness. Okay? Now container is the physical body, the gross body, sthula sharira in Sanskrit, sthula sharira. Then the content is the subtle body, sukshma sharira. The consciousness is the real self, which is called as Atma. We may confuse ourselves thinking that we are this body, container. Or we may confuse ourselves thinking that we are the content. Lord Krishna is saying, you are neither the container nor the content. Okay? Now, lot of us believe that we are the content. We may not believe that we are the container, but lot of us believe that we are the content which goes from one body to another body. Traveling. That is why a lot of us have this confusion about soul. The word called soul. So does the soul travel or not? So therefore we say, to avoid this confusion, we say, by soul do you mean consciousness, or by soul do you mean the subtle body? Content. If you mean the content, then it does travel. If you mean the consciousness, it doesn't travel. We gave the example to explain the verse number 22, which we did, which is also a very important verse. Verse number 22 says, Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya. There, this body is taken to be, or equated to a garment. Body is equal to like, is like a garment, a vesture. Right? And this body, when it becomes worn out, it is thrown out. And a new garment is worn. So point number one is, body is like a garment. Point number two is, when the garment becomes worn out, it is thrown out. And point number three, who decides that it is worn out? The wearer decides that it is worn out. There are some clothes which you have worn for 2-3 years or 1 year, then you feel, oh, it's worn out as far as you are concerned. So you give it. There are other people who are ready to wear it. Isn't it? There are people who cannot afford. They are very happy to take your clothes and they are ready to wear it. So for you it is worn out, for somebody it is okay to wear. So who decides? The wearer decides that it is worn out and it is time to change it. So the garment is equated here to the body, and the wearer is?
Mind and consciousness.
The wearer is the
Atman. The wearer,
content. Is the wearer content or consciousness? It is the content. It is not the consciousness. Consciousness is neither a doer nor an enjoyer. Consciousness has no desire to wear anything, or has no desire not to wear anything. Consciousness is mere witness. Okay? So if you want, in this verse 22, body is the garment. Content is the wearer, mind and intellect, subtle body. The consciousness is a witness. So what is happening is, somebody, like you wear a set of clothes, your house is air conditioned, from your house you go to the car is air conditioned, from the car you go to the office is air conditioned, you are sitting in an air conditioned place all the time, so you feel this set of clothes that I wore in the morning at 8 o'clock, I can continue to wear till about 5, 6 in the evening, till I come back home. I don't find it worn out. Then I find, okay, after wearing it for so long, now it has become worn out for the day. So I throw it and I wear a new t-shirt and a shorts and go to play tennis. And I play tennis for only 1 hour. But after 1 hour, I find that clothes soiled. It's become worn out for me. So you now find a cloth which was worn only for 1 hour worn out. So in some cases, the soul with a small s, subtle body soul, content, finds it worn out at the age of 3 or at the age of 5, at the age of 20, whatever.
What would be the Sanskrit word for soul?
Pardon?
What was the Sanskrit word for soul?
That's what I'm saying. Atma. If you say Atma, there are two ways of looking at Atma, Jivatma and Paramatma. Okay? A lot of people confuse. Who travels? The soul, capital S with S, is not going to travel. Right? It is the soul with the small s that travels. So now, if you call it Jiva, Jiva is traveling from one body to another. How? That's what we are coming to now. So the resultant of all your desires decides whether this body is worn out or not. Swami Ramtita explains this with an example of the law of parallelogram of forces. When an object is kept at point O and 50 Newton force is acting in X direction on that object and 50 Newton force is acting on the object from Y direction, which direction the object will move? In the Z direction. There is no direct force acting in Z direction. The resultant makes the object move in Z direction. Are you with me? So if the force is 50 Newton force in X direction and 1 Newton force in Y direction, the object will move almost close to X direction. So the sum total of all our desires, even though we may not have a direct desire to die, the sum total of all our desires put together determines the death, that this body is worn out. Okay? Then what happens? The wearer travels and wears a new set of clothes. And when he finds that cloth also is worn out, he gives that up and takes up another set of clothes. So how do you define death? Death is defined as transference of content from one container to another container in the medium of consciousness. Consciousness is not moving, it is the content that is moving. Consciousness remains a witness. So what is death? Transference of content from one container to another container in the medium of consciousness. To explain this, Swamiji gives the example of two frames. Frame A, frame B. Frame A is fitted with mirror. Frame B is not fitted with a mirror. And sunlight, which is all pervading, falls on both frame A and frame B. But since frame A is fitted with mirror, there is a reflected sun. In frame B, there is no mirror, there is no reflected sun. Okay. But when the mirror is removed from frame A and fitted in frame B, now what happens? The reflected sun has moved from frame A to frame B. Sun doesn't move, it is a reflected sun that moves. Okay. So this is why we say, even though there seems to be an apparent movement, you are immovable. Okay. So all this he explained, and then he said, Atma is subtle, all these are gross, they cannot touch, it is indestructible. Now in 25, he is going to sum up all that he has said so far.
Avyaktoyam achintyoyam, avyaktoyam achintyoyam, avikaryoyam uchyate, avikaryoyam uchyate, tasmadevam viditvainam, tasmadevam viditvainam, nanushochitumarhasi, avyaktoyam achintyoyam, avikaryoyam uchyate, tasmadevam viditvainam, nanushochitumarhasi.
This is said to be unmanifest. I already explained to you this I am before. The word this. Why is he addressing Atma as this? Here, this means Atma. Right? Why is he addressing Atma as this in the context here? That sun, this earth. That earth, this Asia. That Asia, this India. That India, this Delhi. That Delhi, this Prithviraj Road. That Prithviraj Road, this house. That house, this room. That room, this body. That body, this mind. That mind, this Atma. Thereafter there is no that Atma. Are you with me?
It is not something.
Yes. So this, the closest, that is you, is unmanifest. It is not available for the organs of perception. Indriya agochara. With your senses you cannot know it. Your eyes cannot see it. Eyes can only see what is manifest. Right? In fact, your ears can only hear that which comes within that audible range. Even some of the manifest things, but which has not come in that audible range, you can't hear. If you have a nose block, you can't smell what others are able to smell. Similarly, some of the animals can smell miles away. You can't smell. There are many things even in the manifest world which is unmanifest to you. And this is not even manifest to every other animals which can even smell this and that faraway things. This is beyond all that. It is beyond senses. This is said to be unmanifest. It is not available to the senses. This is inconceivable. This is not even available to your intellect. It is beyond intellect. Don't try to bring Atma in a test tube. A lot of people say, until I see, I can't believe it. When an atheist says, I have not seen something called Atma so far, so I don't believe in it. Are you have not seen it? Means what? Have you been to all the places in this world? Have you been to the space? Or even in those places where you went, did you check up each and everything? So, when he says, I have not seen God, wherever I have been, I have not seen God. So, he may be there somewhere else where you have not been. Right? Similarly, when we say we believe in God, we also are fake actually. Because you have not seen God. You have been told that there is God, so you are believing it. So, there is no meaning in saying there is God, there is no meaning in saying there is no God. Are you with me? You are supposed to find it. But then we take positions, we take sides. We can't remain without taking sides. Here he says, Atma is unmanifestable. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. You can't touch it. And you can't conceive it either. It is something that is beyond your intellect. With your eyes you can see everything, but you cannot see your own eyes. Just because you cannot see your own eyes, you can't say that eyes don't exist. With what are you seeing other things then? That which makes you see, not what you see, is God. This is unchangeable. This should not be misunderstood as vasanas. Vasanas can also be seen as something that is unchangeable, but that changes after many years, many janmas. But this doesn't change after many years and many janmas. It is not something that is changing. It is beyond the changing phenomenon. Therefore, tasmat, know this as such, you should not grieve. Knowing this as such, you should not grieve. It is seemingly unchangeable. I am not saying it is unchangeable. Like for example, somebody has a certain vasanas. His behavior is like this. Any amount of treatment doesn't work. For example, he has become an alcoholic, let us say. You tried this method, that method, every method you tried. And that method, this method, nothing worked. So you say, oh, finally you say, give up, man. He's not going to change. His vasanas are not going to change. But that's not true. He does not change so far. But it can change some other day. But Atma is not something that changes some other day. It remains unchangeable. Right? So, therefore, knowing this as such, you should not grieve. Means, if you have got the knowledge of Atma, then you will not be sitting and grieving. In other words, he is just summing up what he has said so far. So if you basically see, till now, from verse number 12, first verse number 11, he just said, you are speaking wisely, but in your action I can't see wisdom. But he explained, so from 12 till now, what has he done? He has explained Atma, Anatma, Viveka. What is your real self? Now, all this we have heard, we have also heard him from verse number 12 to 25 so far. But what has happened in us? Nothing happens. We continue with our own identification with container and content. So Krishna says, okay, I will come to your level now. From your standpoint, now I will talk. So there is no reason why you should grieve if you look at it from the standpoint at which I am speaking. Now, you may say, Krishna, from your level, that's why a lot of people say, sir, it is all okay for great Mahatmas not to grieve. But we are ordinary people. You know, that question comes usually. An ordinary person like me, what else do you expect? So Krishna is now going to come to that level, an ordinary level, and then explain, and then going to say, from that level also there is no grief. Why? Because from Krishna's point of view, in any angle you look, there is no loss. For example, container. When it is given up, what happens to the container? It gets recycled. Earth portion from the body goes back to earth. Fire portion from the body goes back to fire. Water portion goes back to water. Air goes back to air. Everything has merged back. Again, recycles. So the recycling goes on. So what is lost? Nothing. And from the content portion, what has happened? The sun which was reflected in this mirror is now reflecting there. Plus. Before 10:45, you were in your house. Now you are here. People at home who don't know that they are sitting here, they are all sitting and weeping there. But you are very happily sitting here and having your class. They don't know that you are there. Are you with me? So the content has moved. It has not perished. From the content point of view also there is no loss. And from the consciousness point of view, there is no loss, which we have already studied so far. So from the consciousness point of view also, there is no loss. From the content portion also, there is no loss. From the container portion also, there is no loss. So where is the loss? The loss is only because of your ignorance. You think something is being lost. Like they say, in 2G scam also, there is no loss. It is only your perception. You understand? You are imagining, you are projecting a figure, therefore you are saying there is loss. It is all your projection. Nobody knew that, nobody can come to a conclusion that this is how much it would have gone if you had actioned, etc. They are saying, no? So in other words, what are they saying? It is notional. What is the term they are using?
Notional.
So Krishna is saying here, it is all notional. What does notion means?
It's not imagined.
It's not true. Right? So there is no loss. Very clear, Krishna. From the container portion also, from the point of view also, there is no loss. From the content portion, there is no loss. From the consciousness portion, there is no loss. So why are you grieving? You are grieving because you have not got the knowledge. You might have heard about it. Especially in India, everywhere you listen to these things. You can't avoid listening to such things. Even in movie songs, if you go, philosophy will be there. Even if you are traveling in a rickshaw, the rickshaw fellow will give you some philosophy. You understand? If you get fed up with everything and go and watch a serial, in serial also there will be philosophy given. The interesting thing is, some of the evil characters will talk philosophy. Right? So you cannot escape. You have heard about it, yet deep inside, you have not digested it. So you still continue to remain ignorant, identifying, and then you suffer. So remember this. Right? It is notional. Now he comes down to our level, from the level of an ordinary layman. From a layman point of view, Krishna is going to talk. Means Arjuna did not, there was no sign of change in his body language. His grief was continuing. So he must have felt, oh, he thinks from this level only it looks like there is no loss. Now I will come down to his level and explain to him. Right? So he comes down now. Ata chainam nitya jatam. Ata chainam nitya chatam nityam vamanya semratam nityam vamanya semratam tata pitvam mahabaho tata pitvam mahabaho nainam shochitu marhasi nainam shochitu marhasi ata chainam nitya jatam nityam vamanya semratam tata pitvam mahabaho nainam shochitu marhasi. Arjuna, but if you think this as constantly being born and constantly dying, I told you Atma is not something that is born, Atma is not something that is dying or goes through death. But if you think, you say, no, 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 that is not me. I am somebody who is born. I am Arjuna who has a date of birth. I am Arjuna who may not know my date of death, but I am certainly going to die. But therefore, even then, O Mahabaho, O mighty armed Arjuna, from Arjuna's point of view, Arjuna is Mahabaho. From Krishna's point of view, Arjuna may not be Mahabaho. Right? From Arjuna, now he is talking from Arjuna's point of view, so he addresses him as Mahabaho. From Krishna's point of view, earlier he said, "Are you stupid fellow?" Now you're coming down to Arjuna's point of view. So you Mahabaho, you should not grieve like this. He's making a statement and he'll continue to explain it. Like in verse number 11, he made a statement, wise people do not grieve, and he explained from 12 to 25. Now he's saying, from your point of view, from the wise point of view, there is no grief, I explained. From your point of view also, you should not grieve, even if you think you are somebody who is born and somebody who dies. And he will explain. He is just making a statement here. Because what happens is, why anybody who, all of us know that we have to die one day. If We know that we have to die one day, then what is giving us grief? I wanted to reply to this question. I want you to think out, come back with an answer. So you say, if you think I am somebody who is born, and if you think I am somebody who is going to die, why is he? Why is that grief? Okay.
Reaching that state of consciousness where you can wear, use it like a cloth that you discard.
Also, I think it was that the body, being under the illusion that we all are, that the Atma is not eternal. So that's why we grieve, and
but the Atma is who we are. Associate
us. If you, the problem here is, all of us know that we have to die one day, but the problem is we think death is an end. We don't understand that death is only a karma, is only a turn. For example, can you live without breathing? Even when you are asleep, you are breathing, right? What is this breathing? There is inhalation and there is exhalation. It's constantly going on. You see, he said, gatasu, agatasu. Those whose breath has come, those whose breath has gone. So there is incoming breath and there is outgoing breath. Isn't this happening constantly? Incoming breath, when incoming breath dies, what happens? The outgoing breath starts. The outgoing breath dies, incoming breath starts. Now it looks as if they are parallel. They are not parallel. It's a cycle. It's not two parallel lines, it's a cycle. Are you with me? And there is that turn, and that turn is the death. Death of the previous condition and birth of the new condition. The problem, why do we grieve? Because we think death is an end. We always look at things in a linear way. We don't look at it in a cyclic way. But in universe, everything is cyclic.
From our point of view,
yeah.
We feel, don't think of Gita for a moment, we all are, let's say, Shweta, Shweta, Na, Ami, Zami, Na. We are all what we are. We identify with body, our content and our container in this birth. So in this birth, if someone say dies, then for us, being who we identify with that person being no more. So to transcend all that and to imagine that, I mean, and to try to even sort of think about it, that there is this Atma which is Nityam and which is eternal. It is not, it's also very difficult to, it's all there in the knowledge, but at this stage to even think about it.
You can't think about it.
Yeah,
it's like this. You can't think and understand it and then cross over because you've understood. You have understood, but nothing has happened. Why? Understanding is not going to make you, now you have heard so far and you have understood. Is there any difficulty in understanding what he said so far?
No.
You understand that concept. But you are not able to equate I to that.
No.
Right. So that will take time. It's not going to happen. That's why he comes to your level and is explaining now. From your level, when somebody else die, like you said, it is attachment. I have lost the company of that object or company of that being. Right? As far as I am concerned, it is ended. But ending has brought the sorrow. Similarly, other's end remains me of my end. Subtle level. Right? Even though at the conscious level, I'm not thinking about my death at that time. But deep inside, if you go into the psyche, other's end is reminding me of my end one day. So my end means what I think is, I think it is a end. It's not a comma. This is where the problem comes. Now he's going to rectify that. It's not a full stop, it is a comma. Why is the grief coming? Because you think death is a full stop, but death is not a full stop, it is only a comma. Failure, every time Ghazni Muhammad failed, he understood that it is a comma. So there was a new beginning every time. And everything failed. With that, all complete failures failed. Then a new beginning happened, he conquered. Right? So failure has to be looked at as a comma, not as a full stop. In fact, there is no such thing as failure.
Made by us human beings only is no more never going to be able to come back in our lives.
That's what he's saying. You know that. You know that as far as that figure is concerned, it's gone. Death.
So that is a.
So if you think
is
something is. Array, something is inevitable. It has to die. You are saying, yes, everything has to die. Then why are you grieving? That's his question. If you say something is deathless and then it died, then you can. There is some cause for going to the court and filing a case. You are filing a case where you are saying, I know that this has to come to an end, therefore it has come to an end. Then why are you making a scene and crying? If it was something that was promised, excuse me, when you get married, husband is promising the wife is promising the husband that I will be with you always. Right? Even though it may not be the case many times, in many cases. When he doesn't keep that promise and then moves away, then you can go to the court. You have a case. But if he said from the beginning only, any day I may die, and it, as he said, he is dead. Now what are you making a case about? That's his question. He's not able to understand. He's saying if something has to die and it is dead, it is behaved as per its nature only, no?
No, so I was on to this full stop and comma. Mm-hmm. For us it is a full stop. That for my father, if my father is no more, even in my next birth or next wherever I go after I lose my body, I'm never ever going to be able to find him. So it is an end to that.
It is something which you already knew. It is not something that you knew only at that point in time. Didn't you know? That's what is Krishna saying here. Did you not know that you may die before your father, or your father may die before you, or both of you may die together? All of you have to die one day. Didn't you know this?
No, so it is an end.
If it is an end, you must be prepared for that end. So why are you grieving? Because of your unpreparedness. And that preparedness is what? Understanding, end and continuation. In fact, end is only end of a condition, not end of a thing. End of a condition, not end of a thing. This is what is going to explain from now on. Right? So now he is only making a statement in verse number 26. What is he saying? If you think this is constantly being born and constantly dying, even then, O Mahabaho, you should not grieve. Why? He is going to explain that. He only made a statement here. So that's why I said, why? Because people think end, they take end of a condition as an end of a thing itself. That is where the problem comes.
So which means the Atma is nityam, it is eternal. But in this verse, it is that he is telling Arjuna that even if you think it is not eternal, is that what is because
yes.
Even if you think it's constantly being born and dying, even then you should not grieve.
Yes, even then there is no reason why you should be grieving.
It is eternal, but even if you think it's not eternal, even then you should not grieve.
Exactly,
because you already know that.
Yes, you already know that it is not eternal. So when you know already that it is not eternal, why are you grieving? It is behaved as per your thinking only, no? So what happened is, you know, it's always like this. You see so many people dying, but deep inside you think, somebody who is a breadwinner in your family is going to continue to live deep inside. You're not ready, you're not prepared. If you are prepared, preparedness is different from expecting that person to die. Every day you look at him and then say, oh, you're going to die one day. That is not what Krishna is saying here. He is saying preparedness. If you are prepared, yes, that end of a condition will bring a suffering. But end of a condition cannot bring you a grief. You have misunderstood the end of a condition to be an end of a thing. Therefore, the grief has come. End of a condition can bring about a sorrow feeling. End of a condition can bring about a sorrow feeling, but not grief. When you misunderstand end of a condition to be end of a thing, then comes the grief. That is what he is trying to differentiate. Veda, I told you in the beginning itself, Vedanta is not against your feeling of sorrow. A lot of people get worried about this, you know. Oh, Vedanta, if you go, you will lose all your sorrow.
So here is the difference in sorrow and grief.
Absolutely. I have been saying this from the beginning. It's not going to deprive you of your feelings. In fact, your feeling will be much more intensive.
So what is sorrow and what is grief?
So what I'm saying, sorrow is end of a condition.
Grief is more permanent.
Grief, you think end of a condition as end of a thing itself. As if it's lost. From sorrow, if you understand, joy can come. It's an end of a condition and the beginning of a new condition called joy. See, joy and sorrow is inseparable. Please understand this. When sorrow dies, joy begins. When joy dies, sorrow begins.
But they say that if you become a realized soul and there is just pure joy, there is no sorrow, there is no grief, there is no happiness, there is no anything. You
go beyond joy and sorrow.
Yes.
You go beyond joy and sorrow. Yes. You go beyond the pairs of opposites. What does it mean? It means the pairs of opposites can do nothing to you. That's what it means.
Unaffected.
Yes. Means what? You will go through joy and sorrow. Means you will also face situations where there will be end of condition.
But it will not affect you.
You will not understand the end of a condition as an end of a thing. Therefore, there is no problem.
One thing is sorrow and grief. Could you say that grief then puts the person in a state of total incapacity?
Absolutely. Sorrow will not.
Sorrow is a feeling.
Yes.
And it can stay.
Yes. Yes.
Come and go.
Exactly.
Any feeling, emotion.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why, in fact, in one of the lectures, I said, just understand this. Stagnation is sin. There is nothing more sinful than stagnation. Stagnation is sin. Right? Last week I come, I do the same verse number 21. Now I come, I do the verse. Till I die, 21 going on. What nonsense is this fellow? Never moves. You understand? Growth is sign of life. I see you yesterday. You know, initially the guy has to grow physically. The physical growth stops at a level. Then you don't judge the person by physical growth. Then you go to the other levels of growth. It's not just material growth. There are other growths. Right? So continuously you want to see subtler realms of growth. But when a person gets stuck with wealth only, wealth, all the time running after wealth, then you say, oh, he's trapped, he's stagnating. See, growth within a realm and growth from one realm to another. You need to understand that. One must grow physically, but then thereafter, from physical realm, one must go to emotional realm. And then one must grow emotionally. One must grow from emotional realm to intellectual realm. Then intellectually one must grow. From intellectual realm, one must grow to the subtlest Atma. No, I will stagnate here only. That is sinful. So when you take a condition, end of a condition as an end of a thing, then you are pushing yourself into grief. Then you become stuck. Then your actions become stuck. Then you become incapacitated to act. That is why it's a problem. Krishna is not saying when somebody dies, don't have the feeling of sorrow. When something is moved away, yes, that feeling of separation will be there.
It's like if, like, supposing you have born abroad for 5 years, and you miss them, and you might feel that feeling of separation sometimes, but you don't grieve that, oh, I can't see them for 5 years. But when somebody dies, also it's the same thing. You will feel that sorrow of missing that person as you do them. But
see, it's simple.
But you know that they're never going to come back. Here with the children, you know that at some point they're there, you're in conversation with them, and they come.
There's something else that when you're talking about this, there's something I even want to understand. Like, even with me, play, there was this little thing with my son, which was there where he was very critical in the hospital. So for me, I feel I've gone numb. It's like my heart hasn't accepted what was happening. Where does this emotion come? Is it something that the mind does to preserve itself? That, you know, you don't feel. It's that you just avoid thinking about consequences and all because you're trying to deal with the situation that you go numb. That you don't feel it. You don't emote to that. You don't accept it. So what is that?
Do you mean numb? I mean, by that you mean like you become indifferent?
Yes, you mean indifferent. You're not accepting.
Accepting what? Accepting that he's critical.
Yes.
Huh?
It's in hope.
You're not.
Hope of wanting.
Yeah. You know, it's like.
Something will happen to him.
But you just in. Either is it a denial or is it that, you know, it to me it doesn't seem that you're accepting that, okay, whatever can happen will happen and I can take it. It is just not seeing it. You know, not emoting with a situation, just staying away from the situation and hoping that that will help you. I don't understand this feeling.
No. If you are saying that somebody, you gave the example of your son being critical, anybody it might be, somebody very close to me is critical. I am so indifferent that I carry my business. In a sense, I have no feeling for them. I don't think so you are saying that. What you are saying, I believe, is you are not accepting that he is critical. You are deep inside believing that he is not going to, this thing is not going to worsen and something is going to happen to him. I'm sure you will come out successfully.
Yeah.
So that's a good feeling, right? But why are you calling it numb? That's what I don't understand.
Because
that's why I got confused.
Just because I don't know what it is. You know, it's one is to feel it, to feel a sorrow for it, and one is just not to want to think about it.
Hope.
Just either it's a hope or it's something like, you know, when you're reliving a situation and you're telling others, it's like not crying, not venting the feeling from inside you. So what is that? Is that what stage is that? Is something I want to understand, you know? Is it coming as a part of your body, understanding that it's a sorrow or it's not ready to grieve, or what is it? I'm very confused with emotions with it. You know, I can't understand.
No, I think what you're saying is somebody very close to me is critical.
Yeah.
I am not going to think that some negative end is going to happen. I am very confident that something positive is going to happen, and I am putting all my efforts
in that direction. In that direction.
So that's the right thing to do, and that's how you should behave. In fact, if you start believing that, anyway, he's not saying, I don't know if you're asking, is he saying I should be like, okay, accept if he's going to die, accept it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is after it has happened. After somebody is dead, we are talking about that. Not when somebody is living. Okay, chalo, you may die, it's okay. You're not saying that.
You, the mess is not there, because if your mental state is that, no, he'll never lose me. I mean, I'm not going to lose me.
You are not even thinking about losing or winning.
One minute.
In this situation, it's like this. you are being followed by somebody to kill you and you are trying to run away from them. There you are not even thinking that I will escape from him, then I will continue to live to see my granddaughter and granddaughter's granddaughter. You are not thinking all those things that time. That time you are so intensely running.
Just running.
In fact, that's what, you know, if you see, in a way, people who have problems don't go through depressions. Like, what I'm trying to say is, for example, poor people, there is something or other that they have to do to survive. Right? So what happens is, they are so busy doing, they're not even thinking, I must make that, I must make this, I must make this. They're not going into all those things. They're just engaged, they are inadvertently practicing karma yoga in a way. They're not thinking of the future. So in a way, what you are saying, according to me, if I understand your statement correctly, you are saying, at that time I never thought about what is going to happen to him in future. I refuse to even think like that. It's not refusing. You are so intensely there, just doing what to be done to get him out of that trouble. You are not thinking about, people are going to talk about me, how wonderfully you behave and going to give me an award. Nothing. When you are in the midst of the war, it's a war foot situation, do or die situation. There you are not going to be thinking about future and past and all that. In a critical moment. When the critical moment comes, at that time you don't. Afterwards you will be sitting and doing all that.
The mind is just not wandering.
Yeah. So in fact, that intense situation has made you to be there. And in fact, you will sometimes wonder whether was it you? Because you had gone too much beyond your potential and you had done something. Because that particular time, you were not yourself. You were possessed by love. You will be so surprised. You know, it's like this. Swami Vivekananda gives a beautiful example, beautiful story. He says, a lady used to walk, you know, from her village to wherever she was working, but then she had to go through a small forest. And so every time she came back in the evening, sometimes she may get delayed, so she was so worried that she might be chased by a tiger or something. So, you know, she used to run, scared. One day she had to take her child with her. And that day actually the tiger came. Right? Now this time, she did not run. She gave herself into the tiger's mouth and tried to make the child escape. In the sense, what he is trying to say is, when you are possessed with love, you are capable of doing things which you may surprise yourself. You have no idea. So I think you probably are saying something like that. You are saying you have that love for your child. You did not think five steps ahead whether he is going to live, he is not going to live. Nothing of that. Just show this thing in bringing forth all your capacity. You in fact probably could have gone beyond your capacities. Sometimes people work without sleeping. You know, all that at that time. So that's a good thing, in fact. So is okay now?
He's better, but it's delicate. As any cough, cold affects a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She's had a surgery through his nose, so part of his nose bone is ruptured. So there's a congestion. So it's a feature going back into the same.
So, it's always very important to, in fact, when we go to third chapter and fourth chapter and all that, he's going to talk about karma yoga. Even in this chapter itself, we'll introduce karma yoga a little bit. Now, see, in other words, it is engaging oneself and being in the struggle, not going to the past and future, and that is what drains our energy. He's going to say all that in karma yoga portion. So, even now, if you send your mind to future, rather, mind will go to future. Right? So if you start operating on the mind, then obviously all this grief and sorrow, the affectation and all this will come. And then the worst thing is, such things will start happening once you start believing. start constantly sending your thoughts to such things. So it's better to engage yourself in the present action and be positive. And only positive will happen, rather than giving yourself into negative. And if the result is not going to come after my efforts, accept them. Acceptance comes with reference to the result and my present condition. The present condition is child is critical. In fact, the very fact that you accepted it, you were able to change it. If you resisted it, then you will not change it. If you resist, you will get agitated. You accepted my child is critical. I accept that this is the present moment. Therefore, in this present moment, whatever I could do, I'll do. Supposing I resisted. Supposing I can't accept this. What have you done to my child? I am agitated. The more I am agitated, the less I can think and less I can do. So I find your situation, you are saying I did not accept. I am saying you accepted it. You accepted the situation. That's why you became calm and you dealt with it. If you did not accept the situation, then you would have gone agitated. You wouldn't have been able to function normally.
And that also helps everyone around you.
Yeah. Exactly. So that is what. I think you're not very clear about what has happened to you. But I think the fact is you accepted. Yes, my child is critical. This is a fact now. Right? I accept that. And then what I can do now, I will do my best. So you probably put all your other things behind, which is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Nothing is more important than that at that moment. Right? So you, with that positive energy and acceptance, you just did. And you are also ready to accept the result. And the fact that you accepted and worked, result will be in your favor.
Interestingly, all unaware.
Yeah, I mean, doing the best you can at that point of time, that's all you can do at that point of time.
Yeah.
But this dropping resistances and accepting, I think it is.
That's the problem.
It's really, no, it's such a good thing. It's such a big powerful.
Yes.
It works well.
Absolutely. If you resist, you will drown.
Resist
me. Anything that you resist will persist. Anything you resist will persist. The moment you accept, then with what will it fight? See, by resisting, you are strengthening that. By accepting, you are weakening it.
So this is a negative situation, you are resisting it.
That is why, everybody, when they go for an eye for an eye, they make the opponent become more and more strong. The more he loses, the more he wants to come back and win. You understand? You don't resist. And a person who accepts will always remain strong. The person who resists will always remain weak. If I focus on my growth, I'm not on growing beyond you, growing more powerful than you. Growing, thinking that I should grow more powerful than you is a resistance. Focusing on my growth is acceptance. So what happens is the fact that always if you see a fellow who, I must grow more than him, he is having that, you know, resistance all the time. This fellow goes on accepting, whatever it is, I'll keep putting my efforts. He becomes more strong and the other fellow goes on losing. So this is all very interesting deep psychology. So, anyway, we'll see all these things in detail when he comes to Karma Yoga, and he continues talking about all these things. In fact, the basic foundation of what Krishna is going to talk has been laid down. From that only he talks. He presents the case from totally different angles. But the foundation, these are all foundation portion. So we need to become very clear about what is the foundation he is laying. Then, from whichever angle he may present, you will not get confused. Otherwise you will say, sir, he said that time, now he is saying this. No. Same thing, he is approaching it from a different angle. So you should not grieve like this, he said in 26. Verse 27.
Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuh, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuh, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha, tasmad parihāryete, tasmad parihāryete, na tvam shochitu marhasi, na tvam shochitu marhasi, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuh, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha, tasmad parihāryete, na tvam shochitu marhasi. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuh, certain indeed is death for the born, and certain indeed is birth for the dead. So this is what he is trying to say. Now I told you before, Arjuna, you are taking death as an end of a thing. I am telling you, it is not an end of a thing, it is end of a condition. Right? So what is he saying here? Certain indeed is death for the born. Agreed with you. I am agreeing with you. If death is certain, why should I be sitting and thinking about death? By my thinking about death, is death not going to come to me? My not thinking about death, is death not going to come to me? It will come, whether I think about it or whether I don't think about it. So let it come on its own accord. Why should I waste my time thinking about it? Is what he said. Let not your efforts be in a way a resistance. Let it be an acceptance, is what he said. You see, today all our efforts are resistance. Let me, now there is some time, so let me as much as possible annex wealth. Because at the time of death, this health, this wealth may come in handy. Because it can keep me in ICU. It can prevent me from dying, this wealth. So that I can at least, even if I am there like a vegetable, at least I continue. That's all I want. So what am I doing? In a way, all our fights are with death. Krishna is saying, don't even bother about death, man. You are saying it is inevitable. Certain indeed is death for the born. You are saying that everybody has to die. I am somebody who is born. I am somebody who is going to die. If that is certain, why think about it? Just get into the action. If it is a pre-gone conclusion that I must die, I am going to die whether I think about it or not. Isn't it? So why? It's like this, you know, a lot of people, they can't, they have this phobia. They can't fly. They can't go in the aircraft. Scared. What is going to happen? Array, anyway you are going to die. In fact, dying like this is better. And that you will die. If there is an air crash or something. Enjoy your journey. Whatever movies you can see, you watch. Whatever they are giving you, or sleep, whatever you want to do. Enjoy. Settle your luggage and enjoy. Don't sit with keeping on it on your head. Isn't it? So that's what he's saying. You are in this journey, and death you are saying is something that is inevitable. If it is something inevitable, accept it. Acceptance means what? Now the question is, what is acceptance? Acceptance means death will not be occupying your mind. Resistance means death will occupy your mind. Are you with me? So you must understand, what does he mean by acceptance? Acceptance. Acceptance simply means it is not preoccupying you. Resistance means it is preoccupying you. So, second point. Certain indeed is death for the born, and certain indeed is birth for the dead. So what is he saying now? Arjuna, death is not a death of a thing. It is death of a condition. Both has to be understood. Death is inevitable, and death is only death of a condition and not death of a thing. That is to be understood. If I understand that, then what will happen is, death will not preoccupy me, and I will not fighting with death.
I would rather let it happen if the condition has to change. I go on. I adapt myself for the new condition.
When you get attached, you're not scared of your own death, but you are worried about people around you leaving you.
Pardon? When you?
So when you are living, you're not scared of your own self dying. You don't mind not being around.
So
it's to see your children or your husband or your
parents. Excuse me. It's very smart. You're from the lawyer's family, no? So you'll be smart. See, what you need to understand is, it is your loneliness. Think about it. Yes, you think about it deeply. Give it some thought. These are all very subtle. We say mind, you know, mind is always like this. Oh, unke bare mein. You know, everything I'm doing is because for you. All very flowery speech, huh?
When you are saying about this, that people are scared of death, actually a thought came to me. I wasn't really saying until I'm saying now. That actually, if I think about it, I would say that I'm not scared of death. I'm not talking about the thing of okay, losing others will. Is more this thing, but I'm not scared of death. And when I know that there are people who are so terrified of going on an airplane, and that's because of the consequence of death. So sometimes it is difficult to put yourself in the other person's shoes. So why are people so scared of death? Even old people,
Mr. Sun cannot understand what is this darkness that they are talking about. Somebody is saying there's a beautiful girl called darkness. So Mr. Sun wanted to go and see. Who is this beautiful girl called darkness? He can never find her. Because the moment he goes, darkness is not there. So he is never able to find that beautiful girl. So he ever remains single. Never gets married to her. So in short, what I am saying is, if a person, what you are saying is, at what level, if you really have conquered that fear of death, you don't have that fear of death at all, it is very surprising to you how people can, you are right in saying, I can't understand how people are so scared of death. That's what you're saying.
You are not.
Pardon?
That's the thing that you jump down a hill. Then you know this is like the percent you're going to die. That's not what I'm saying. What I was saying was like how a tiger, when the ladies are a tiger, she let the kid go out and she herself put herself into the tiger's mouth. Something like that, that you know, you are not scared of death in that sense of the word.
When you're older, it doesn't matter to you, but.
My children, no, my. See, you are always thinking, initially, a person is identifying only with the body and thinks only me, if somebody touches the toe or somebody touches the head to toe rather. Right? But what happens is, after some time, the me pervades your child also. The me pervades your husband, hopefully. The me pervades your children, friends, everybody. Right? In fact, that is what Arjuna's problem is. I told you this also. Arjuna's knee has pervaded Bhishma and Drona. In fact, let me tell you the strangest thing. The knee pervades your enemy also. My enemy. The problem is, that's what I said. These people are there. Enemy, in a way, makes your presence very interesting. Let me tell you this. What will you do if there is no enemy? The life becomes so boring. Let me tell you.
Where do we women have enemies? What do we do with
enemies? Listen, I'd rather not answer this question.
So, the point is,
yes,
we are ladies, so
yes. So, you see, the point is, it is not as if somebody has really conquered death there, the fear of death or death. It is just, you take me, but I continue to live through them. You see, my children, my works, some people they say, leave my works, take me. It's my work. So what is happening is, they are actually living through that.
Yes.
So nobody, if you really conquer death, you are not worried about your death or anybody's death. So this only shows but you have not conquered death. You are simply, it is just a interesting way of tricking oneself. Mind tricks. No, I am not worried about my death. Take my life.
Make him uska. We've kind of moved that much. We've grown that much.
Yes, but then you can't stagnate there. That's all I'm saying. I'm not criticizing it. Vedanta doesn't criticize that. Don't stagnate there. That is why Swami Ramtita says, your home should not be a boundary of your affection. It should be a center of your affection.
But this time I was in the US and there was a person who was completely drunk. And we were in the gym and the pool and all. It was restricted area. He came from the jungle side. We were in this lake Tahoe, which is a jungle. And he knocked on that door and he asked my brother to open the door. Not knowing that he was drunk, he said, I'm lost. Can you please open the door? So my brother opened the door and he was completely drunk. Then he told my brother, oh man, how are you? This, that and the other. And he went away. Then my brother went into the pool. Suddenly this 6 feet 6 inches tall man, big man comes, takes out his shirts and jumps into this single lane pool, you know. And my brother was wearing earplugs and me and my sister were in this little jacuzzi around it, trying to tell him that, you know, here's a man who seems to be after you, because why would he then jump like this? Suddenly he saw him in his lane, so my brother stood up and he took out his earplug to find out what is his problem. And he could hear us scream that, you know, just get out of the pool. We were worried that he's so drunk that he's a big guy, you can do one little knock and you'll be gone. So he said, what is your problem? And he was trying to talk to him and he was like a big man. So then he realized that he got up. As soon as he got up, this man also got up after him. There were two other men with us in the jacuzzi. So we told him that Gaurav, come and stand here at least. Don't like be a big man. You know, what are you doing? Look at your size. So then he came. Seeing so many of us, that man was conscious enough to not then come follow him. But then he was waiting outside. And after we finished everything, his girlfriend or wife or whoever came in and said, I'm amending ways, I hope nothing happened. And she was only bothered about his wallet. Where is his wallet? What, did he do anything? This, that and the other. And my brother, poor thing. I said, you shut up, you poor thing. Let's just get out of this. Because I said, if you allowed him in, let's just tell him that, you know, it was our mistake that we let him in. And anyway then, as we got out, this man was standing far away without his shirt and all wet jeans and everything. Seeing my brother again, he charged towards us. So we ran into this Hyatt Hotel's entrance and we told our receptionist that there's a man who's drunk, just be careful. So they called security immediately. I didn't know the US ways. They called the security immediately and then they called the police immediately. And the police said, are you okay? And he got ballistic. So the police, so he was put behind bars. And then the receptionist told my brother that don't worry, he's gone to jail now. So, and his girlfriend and a whole lot of friends, they all saw the police and they all also ran away because they were all sorcerers. So they knew that if they even tried to defend him, they would all be in the car. So Gaurav came up and he said, what thing, Amiben, now he'll have to go to the magistrate tomorrow, pay $500 bail. And then he was a tourist, he'll have to keep coming to Lake Tahoe all the time. You know, poor girlfriend over there. I said, what poor, you would have finished. But I kept feeling that here I'm only thinking about him. And here's my brother who would have had such a big scrap with him, is thinking about his girlfriend and about poor man, you know, who, poor thing, he went to jail. I mean, when he would have, you know, had he not complained, things would not have happened like this. Just, you only think of yourself, and I said, quite little, you know, and when he was saying the next day. But for 2 days I was very scared that. I said, jail said, today I'm feeling.
So we'll conclude. See, it's a slow, it's a process. It will happen slowly. You can't go from zero to infinity overnight. Right?
No, but what would one have done in such a situation?
It's not like what would one do? You can't see hindsight, everybody is wise.
No, what would
at that moment you will function according to your level. And that's what has happened, right? If it was Mahatma Gandhi, he would have functioned in a different way. If it was
because my brother is telling, he's only drunk. I mean, when it's okay, he won't have the strength to do anything. He's only drunk. I said, what is coming at you? Look at his size. He said,
the big guy?
See, the thing is, you need to deal with the situation, not run away from it. You cannot, it is not what you do is it right or wrong. It is in what position you did it, that is what we need to realize. Was it done from a position of, fear, or was it done from a position of strength? Action could have been the same. When Krishna tells Arjuna, shoot the arrow, finish them off, it is not because I am scared. From a position of strength. See, somebody else can shoot the arrow out of fear. He is coming to kill me, I kill him before he kills me. It's from the position of fear. The same action could be done from the position of strength. Are you with me? So it is not the action. So in fact, I won't go into the actions. Action could have been same thing. Because, for example, if somebody is so
he would have harmed somebody else.
No, so therefore, you might take a physical step of putting him behind bars, right? But that was not done out of weakness or fear. It was done out of strength, of calmness. Are you with me? So what I am saying is, I would rather think about that rather than whether my action at that time was right or wrong. There is no such thing as action being right or wrong. Has it been done from the position of love and strength, or has it been done from the position of attachment and weakness? And that is more important. And if I change that, then tomorrow I may do the same action, but it was done from the position of love and strength. And that is what is Gita is talking about.
Which has no guilt.
Which will not have any guilt. We'll conclude the class. We'll see these words in detail next week. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.